Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, 15 through 16, and 21 through 22. Please listen for God's word to you today. In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priestess of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it was written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. At the age of 16, my best friend and I both earned our lifeguard certification. The following summer, we were invited by my best friend's mother to serve as lifeguards for her Girl Scout troop during a 3-day canoe trip. We jumped at the opportunity. We loved to canoe, and we would actually get paid for this particular service. When we arrived at the edge of the river with our canoes, paddles, and cushions and accoutrements, we quickly stowed our gear in the canoe and pushed off into the center of the river. As a fairly strong current caught our canoe, and we began to be propelled down the river, we heard Mrs. White's voice following us down the water. Girls, girls, I want you girls in the center of the pack, not in the front. Pull over and let some of the canoes go by. Sitting at the back of the canoe, I obligingly maneuvered us toward an open area on the riverbank, which happened to be beneath a high, steep embankment where the river made a tight turn. The water was too deep to stick our paddles down into the river bottom, and there were no branches nearby which I could grab, so I was obliged to get out of the canoe. I quickly realized that the current was particularly swift here, where it had cut away the embankment. Consequently, I had to hold on to the canoe rather tightly to keep it from floating away. As I held on to the canoe, my best friend Robin counted 1, 2, 3, 4. It was early in the summer, and the river was rather swollen and the current rather fast, so the canoes passed by rather faster than I expected. 5, 6. Okay, that's half. Jump in. For a split second, I released my grasp on the canoe, and the canoe took off in that split second without me. So I did just what Robin had told me to do. I jumped in the canoe. Unfortunately, I jumped with such gusto that the force of my landing overturned the canoe and jettisoned Robin, myself, and everything in the canoe into the middle the Betsy River. I found the cold, dark, rushing water a bit disorienting, so it took me a few seconds to find the surface. When my head finally popped up out of the water, I was greeted by a gentle tapping at the back of my head. So I turned to see what was prodding me along. It was a brown paper sack, neatly folded at the top, floating perfectly upright down the river. I watched it as it drifted around my head, nudging my temple, and then drifted past my nose. And then I noticed a little column of brown paper lunch sacks folded at the top, sitting perfectly upright in a perfect column, floating down the river. And then I remembered that Mrs. White had stowed all of the lunches in the lifeguard's canoe for safe keeping. It would seem I had inadvertently baptized everybody's lunch that day. Now, you might well be thinking that dipping 28 PB&Js, 28 bags of Fritos, 28 Red Delicious Apples, and 28 Twinkies in the Betsy River rather stretches the meaning of baptize. However, I checked my Dictionary of New Testament Greek, and there I found that the primary meaning for the Greek word baptizo is to immerse or to dip in water. And the secondary meaning for baptizo was to wash, such as in a Jewish ritual washing. Apparently, only later in the New Testament era, undoubtedly in response to the ministry of John and his role in baptizing Jesus, did the Greek word baptizo take on the specifically Christian meaning, wherein we use the word baptism to refer to a ritual of immersion or dipping into water as a spiritual beginning of one's journey as a Christian, so to speak. I must confess that I have always found the baptism of Jesus somewhat of an enigma. Why did Jesus, who was without sin, choose to repent and be washed or cleansed in the Jordan River? I found it an enigma until I recognized the significance of the place where Jesus was baptized. Today, we tend to see the primary meaning of the baptism of Jesus in the act of baptism, because that is the part that we imitate through our sacrament here in our churches. However, the people who stood alongside the Jordan River with Jesus and John on that day would have seen the act of baptism in a very different light. They would have seen meaning of the baptism of Jesus primarily in light of the place in which they stood. Indeed, the place reveals whole layers of meaning which we who live in a different time and place can miss completely. For the baptism of Jesus as an activity would have been to the people of his day a commonplace event. Ritual cleansing was an everyday part of their culture. What was not commonplace for this people was the place where the baptism took place, the Jordan River. The Jordan River, although a small river, about the size of the Huron River running through the village of Milford, was huge in its historical significance to the people of Israel. Because of a lack of trust and consequent disobedience, God had kept Moses and the people of Israel out in the wilderness for 40 years. And God had told Moses and his generation that they would never reach the promised land. But before his death, God led Moses to the summit of Mount Nebo and had him look across the valley where the Jordan River was running at the bottom. And God showed Moses the land promised to Abraham and his descendants. And then, only then, after the death of Moses and his generation, did God command Joshua to lead the next generation out of the wilderness and into the promised land. But first, the people of Israel had crossed the Jordan River, which was at its flood stage, overflowing at all its banks. And although normally a small river was very dangerous during the time of its flood. So just as Joshua was commanded by God, Joshua commanded the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant to go before the people of Israel and cross the Jordan River. In faith, the priests carrying the Ark went in front of the people and they stepped into the swollen waters of the Jordan River. And when they stepped into the flooded waters, the flowing waters from above stood still so that the priests who carried the Ark stood on dry ground until all the people of Israel crossed safely to the other side of the Jordan, where they entered into the promised land. As God's chosen people, no longer led by Moses, but by Joshua, whose name means God saves. This is the river in which Jesus was baptized. So when the Gospel of Luke tells us that crowds of people came out of their villages, out of their cities, out of Jerusalem, out to the Jordan River, wondering whether John might be the Messiah, and they find John preaching a message of repentance and baptizing in the Jordan River, what the people would have understood was that God's messenger was calling the people of Israel out of their spiritual and political capital, out of the land of promise, out to the edge of the wilderness, in a sense, back to the day when Joshua had led the people of Israel into the promised land. And in and through this calling, God was calling them to a new beginning. For the Greek word repentance is metanoia, which connotes not only regret and penitence, but also has a physical connotation. It means to turn around. Consequently, what the gospel writer is telling us is that through the messenger John, God, who speaks concretely, calling creation into being with his very voice, this God is saying to the people of Israel, physically, through the very place in which they stand, you have not been following in my ways. You have been walking away from me and away from my promises. You have been wandering in a wilderness of your own making, building up spiritual barriers between you and me. So come now. Come back to the beginning. Come back to where we started, back to the day when you entered the promised land and begin anew. Only this time it shall be different. This time I give you Jesus, the new Joshua, also meaning God saves. The new Joshua, who is my son, the beloved, who will lead you not in only into the land of promise, but into the promise of my love, who will show you the way to my heart, who will baptize you with the Spirit so that wherever you go, I will be with you because I will be dwelling within you. This, I suggest, is the deeper message found in the location and the context of the baptism of Jesus. There are times in our lives when we need to go back to the beginning, so to speak, and remember who we are and revision what who we are means in our present moment. There are times in our individual lives, there are times in our family lives, there are times in our corporate and community lives when we are called to a new beginning. Right now seems to me to be one of those times. Now understand that I do not believe that God caused or willed the COVID pandemic. But I do believe that God can use the evil in our world in ways that can benefit us. Excuse me. And those around us. We tend to see the COVID pandemic as an impediment to our lives and our faith, as a challenge to our work and our ministry, as something we need to just get through so that we can go back to normal. Indeed, it's kind of like the Jordan River was to the followers of Moses, something that was in their way. But perhaps, like the Jordan River and baptism, we are missing something. Perhaps we are not seeing the larger context. Perhaps we are missing the significance of this time in which we are living. Perhaps the COVID pandemic is not only a challenge and an impediment. Perhaps the COVID pandemic is also an opportunity. An opportunity to grow in faith, like the priests who stepped into the Jordan River, trusting that though they might get wet feet, they wouldn't be swept away and drowned, for God would be faithful to them. Perhaps it is an opportunity for new beginnings. Like the people of Israel, God's chosen people, who went out to be baptized by John and were reminded that in many ways they were no longer following God's ways. In many ways they walked away from God. In many ways they were wandering in a wilderness of their own making, building up spiritual barriers between themselves and God. But we're also reminded of who they were meant to be, really be. And they found that God was with them in Jesus, the Son, the Beloved. Perhaps now, in this time, we have been given an opportunity to go back to the beginning, so to speak, to remember who we are, to reassess our values, and to revision what it means to be followers of Jesus in our world today. Think about it. Pray about it. Try seeing it differently. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith together. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in one body of Christ, the Church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our life and life, Christ through Scripture, engages us, the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the Church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks, and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, the priest carrying the ark stepped into the waters, knowing they'd get wet feet, but trusting in your faithfulness. The people of Israel came out of the Jordan River to be baptized by John and found you were there with them in a new way through Jesus, your son and your beloved. We come to you today hoping for new beginnings. In that hope, we lift up our prayers to you, prayers and thankfulness for a beautiful and treasured relationship to continue to heal, to keep love, faith, strength, understanding, and forgiveness, and to believe in all things wonderful. Prayers for a son to heal, to be strong, to find a job and find his way. Prayers for a daughter who is a frontline healthcare worker to be strong and to be safe. Prayers for children to help in the healing process to unite and sustain a loving relationship. Prayers and thankfulness for gaining a stronger faith, for God's holy presence in one's life, and for a loving church family and friends. Prayers for all those who have been affected by the winter storms, wildfire in Colorado, for the homeless, the downtrodden, and for our troops and frontline workers. Give them all strength, hope, comfort, and peace in these challenging times. Prayers for the twins Levi and Hudson to recover from COVID. Comfort and peace for our family. Comfort for Aunt Judy and Diane. Prayers for James to remain cancer-free. Prayers to keep a nephew safe in the Middle East. Prayers for Tina and Philip. Prayers of peace and comfort for Neoma Harris. Prayers of comfort and peace for Mary Lou Garrity. Prayers of thanksgiving and celebration on the birth of Luca James, born January 5th. Lord, be present in a brother's life. He is lost and oh, so lonely. Lord, be present in all of our lives, but most especially the lives of those for whom we have lifted up special prayers today. Hear these, our prayers, and hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus calls us out into the world to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he has commanded. Let us respond to this call of Jesus by offering ourselves, our time, our talents, and our treasure in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Pray. God of grace and glory, you name us and you claim us, calling us to be your people, faithful and courageous, compassionate and merciful. As your Son, your beloved, embraced his calling in the waters of baptism, draw us to his light. Make us bold in the remembrance of our own baptisms. Fill us with your Spirit, renewing in us your calling, so that we may join in the transforming work of Jesus. Amen.
Feel thee near me, the world that's Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend.
Go forth now in the knowledge that you have been named and claimed by our God of glory, both through your baptism and through the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you go forth from here today, looking through the eyes of faith for new beginnings. And in so doing, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.